Caesar!
I came to pay the play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to say
It's Cody Goff here on the Brian Noonan Show web exclusive podcast.
I like now the new season you've decided to throw. You give yourself the top billing right away.
I come
right out of the blocks. Hey, it's Cody Goff. I like that.
Well, now that I'm a fill-in host.
Is that right? That's right. Since last year when we did the podcast, you have filled in a couple times.
One and a half times.
To a rave review.
Was it? Who raved?
You did. You said it went fantastic.
Of course I did.
So everybody else was like, eh, you know. That's maybe why it's one and a half.
Maybe.
Coming from the guy who only works Sundays. Don't take it for what it's worth. Grain of salt.
I certainly will. I thought it was appropriate to say my own name.
You should. That's fine. Everybody knows your name, though, if they listen to the podcast and the show. They know your name. But it's all right. That's good.
Well, everybody knows your name. It's literally on the Brian Noonan Show part of the website.
That's part of the thing, though. That's the marquee. You got to hang the marquee.
So it needs to be in the URL and on the website.
I want it everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
I actually want you to tattoo it on your back.
Wow.
That's right.
How do you know it's not there?
Because I don't think Dr. Mrs. Casey's wife would have married you.
Wait, all right. First of all, Casey's wife.
Dr. Mr. Cody's wife.
Yeah. We can probably call her by her name on the
podcast. Up to you. I don't want to get, I don't overstep.
Yeah.
In most things. All right. Now, I know you like to do this where we don't say when we're recording and people are, but we talked about recording on Sunday on the terrestrial show. We talked about recording this today for release because we didn't have a lot of time to talk about a myriad of topics Sunday because we had booked ourselves into absurdity.
As a good producer does.
I think I booked some of that. I booked half and you booked half.
Technically, the macaroni thing, I got that email too.
Right, but you didn't do anything with it.
Well, I could have if I wanted to.
Well, sure. And I could have been a baseball player had I, you know, had any talent athletically.
And then our ratings would be up.
Oh, that would be great. Sure, so, people would tune in to hear what the ex-jock has to say. I'd feign outrage at everything.
You could scream.
I'd be screaming. I'd have a big throbbing vein on the side of my neck all the time because I would have hot takes on everything.
Your gallbladder would have exploded years ago.
It would have been on the air. It would have been a much better story than me getting whisked off to the emergency room on a random Sunday morning.
This is what I'm saying. So you're responsible for our ratings, which we're not allowed to talk about. And I don't even know, frankly, so that doesn't really.
But so we didn't get to talk about a lot of things. And I'm going to break this rule because I always thought this was dumb, that we pretended we weren't, that we were doing it live. That we, you know.
We never ever did
that.
But
you always said you can't say that when we're recording it.
We can do that.
It's Halloween. That's why I'm saying, only because tonight's Halloween.
Well, now you're dating us, though. Here's the thing. People, if they're listening to a podcast and you're kind of amorphous, you say, we recorded this on a Wednesday and whatever, month or something, that's one thing. But if it's Christmas, if it's December 26th right now, today,
it's not, though. It's Halloween. I just told them it was Halloween.
What I'm saying, though, and they're in the Christmas spirit and they're listening to Holly Jolly Christmas and Burl Ives and everything, and then all of a sudden you say, it's Halloween, then they think, well, that's not the season I'm in.
But what they also know tonight, well, tonight's episode is different because we're talking about things that just happened.
Yeah.
And we teased them on the show, and we put them on the Sunday podcast from the show. You posted that show. Where we talked about recording this show for next Sunday.
You're already getting in the time travel. This is our first web-exclusive podcast of the season.
Right.
And I'm already...
I'm screwing it up because I don't care. Time means nothing to me. I have other...
Then why are you mentioning
it? Picture. Because the story is... it's Halloween. So we just came from... I just came from passing out Halloween candy, and I'm very, very excited. Because, you know, we had a lot of kids at the house. Most of them were polite. I asked one kid, because you know my rule, you have to say trick or treat. That's the rule. You don't just come to my door. I actually had three kids came to the door. So I opened the door and I'm standing there and I'm just looking at them. And their parents are down off the, you know, by the sidewalk. And I wait a couple seconds and they look at me. I go, you got to say it. And I hear the dad go, I like this guy. He's just staring at him going, what do you want? So they said it, and everybody gets candy. We all go. And one of my students came to the house, one of my first graders, which was quite a shock for, I think, both of us.
Yeah.
Because I opened the door, and she was like, ah. And I was like, ah, hey, what's going on? So now they know where I live. So if my house gets burned down, it's some angry first grader.
Well, don't fail him.
I'll try not to. I don't actually fill out the grades. That's the other teacher who does all that.
Well, tell her not to fail him.
Listen, if they're dumb, they got to get failed.
Well,
you got to listen. You got to earn your grades. Talk to Dr. and Mrs. Cody's wife. She's a professor.
These all sound
she's a PhD.
Like great ideas.
You know, she knows all about people having to earn their grades.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
now we're going to do the wedding podcast.
We're going to talk about the wedding. Yeah, we'll talk about the wedding because that was the big thing.
Yeah.
It was the big event, the huge event.
It's pretty fun.
All right, thanks for listening. We will talk to you again. That was, boy, that was the weakest beginning of the story. So I don't even know where to start the story. But
well, at least I started somewhere.
I had preamble before we got to the main course.
Oh.
It's called an appetizer.
Oh.
Talk a little bit about that. Tell a little story. I'm not going into any more medical conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm a little tired, I'm not going to lie to you.
And Halloween candy is a good appetizer.
Let me tell you this about Halloween candy, because just on a sidebar, we used to give out full-size bars, which was a little costlier. However, it prohibited me from eating, because I think everyone will agree, the commitment to eat a full-size candy bar is much different than a bite-sized candy bar. Because I can eat 6 bite-sized candy bars and still not feel like I've had a full candy bar.
Yeah.
Whereas, if we were giving out full-size bags of M&Ms, I would never open one because I was like, I don't want a whole bag of M&Ms.
Right. Who does?
Nobody wants a whole bag of M&Ms. Everybody wants a whole bag of M&Ms. Are you insane? I want one of those pound bags of M&Ms nonstop. But in my mind, I was like, I can't eat a whole bag of candy. But now, there's got to be some psychology of looking at this tiny little one bite piece and go, well, that's not a candy bar. And just, are you having trouble over there?
I am. And you hear every little.
Yeah, for the guy who was so worried about with whirring machines and background noises, you're thumping things up over
there. I'll fix it in post.
But anyway,
I'm not going to do any post-production on this.
For the first hour and a half of trick-or-treating, we had 3 kids, and yet somehow we went through like 50 pieces of candy.
Wow.
Well, I had to sample them all. Because I don't know, maybe somebody at the factory put a needle in it.
Did you hand out the other half of the candy bars you sampled?
No, I would say there were little pieces. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, okay.
I had to, because we had one of the big variety bags, so I had to try one of each to make sure they were fine.
You like the 100 grand, don't you?
We did have the 100 grand.
Love the 100 grand.
I love those. We had our bag had 100 grand, Almond Joy, which Debbie says nobody eats. And I'm like, well, that's dumb, because why would they make them if nobody eats them? Plus, I love them. So we had the 100 grand, the Almond Joys, Reese's Cups, plain and peanut M&Ms. What else is in the bag? A Kit Kat, Peppermint Patty.
No, I've never liked those.
Oh, I like those.
I shoplifted one.
Did you really?
When I was 3 or 4 years old.
How are you going to the store at 3 or 4 years old? What are you, the baby from Roger Rabbit in
the
stroller?
With my mother. I just threw a York Peppermint Patty in my coat pocket or something, and then I got home later, and then she was like, where did you get that? And I was like, well,
What, are you one of the trench coat mafia in preschool?
It was
wondering like your big pockety coat?
I felt super guilty for my whole life. I still remember it, like 30 years
Where'd
later.
Where'd you steal it from? What store?
Gray's IGA in Rockford, Illinois. Right on Highcrest.
They're out of business now, aren't they?
They're not.
They're not? They're still there?
They're on Highcrest.
They survived?
Alpine. Mm-hmm. They survived my York Peppermint Patty.
Did you ever go back in?
Oh, I go back in all the time.
Really?
The last time I went back in.
And do you feel their eyes on you? We remember this kid.
The last time I went back in.
30 years later.
I was with my sister buying some stuff for the holidays, and she paid by writing a check. And I.
When were you shopping for the holidays? 1956?
No, this was literally 3 or 4 years ago. And I walk in, and when she started writing the check, I started making a bunch of jokes about it because it was hilarious.
It is hilarious.
I'm saying things like, what are you doing? Like,
what is a young woman doing writing a check?
I don't know. And I was making all these jokes, and the cashier just this blank slate. You know, just like no sense of humor whatsoever. And I always remember just thinking that cashier is just devoid of emotion.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened today.
Because she's been IGAing for 30 years.
Did you see my, well, since you brought you opened the Halloween.
Right, because I ruined the first web exclusive podcast.
Of course, sure. So since you opened a Halloween bag of candy, as it were, did you see my work costume today?
Yes, the Optimus Amazon Prime.
Yeah, so we've been getting
a
bunch of boxes from Bed Bath & Beyond and Amazon for our wedding, of course. And I said to myself, wouldn't it be stupid if I just put a bunch of boxes on my body and wrote the Amazon Prime logo and said I'm Optimus Amazon Prime?
It's hilarious.
Hilarious, right? So I walked into Mariano's today, and because my coworker
in
the full thing. Because I work like a block from Mariano's. So my coworker and I realized we were out of coffee at the office.
Uh-oh.
So we took took one of the corporate cards, and you know, our boss was like, "Yeah, go get some coffee." We went and got coffee. Went to the checkout line. Didn't shoplift anything this time. And there was a girl in front of us, and so the cashier's joking about the costumes. My friend was the tree with apples that Isaac Newton discovered gravity under.
Oh.
So she was dressed as a tree with a bunch of apples, and then she had a little Isaac Newton cutout, like on a popsicle stick, that she had kind of tucked into her pocket.
Okay.
It was originally a couple's costume with her boyfriend, but he, of course, does not work at our company.
Sure.
So
no, I get it.
It was odd. It was funny.
So, I hear apple tree, I think Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz? What part of that?
Where the tree is throwing the apples.
That's right. That's the angry tree.
The angry tree throwing apples.
Angry ent.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So you're in Mariano's. You're dressed in boxes.
The girl in front of us is this hipster girl with, you know, her glasses, whatever. She looks like she's in her early 20s. Looks like she should have a personality, sense of humor. It's the cashier, and there's like three Mariano's employees that come up. They're like, "Oh, we love the Amazon box." This older lady behind us in line is joking about the Amazon box and the tree and all that, and we're making jokes and stuff. And this girl in front of us, just devoid of any... It was like she was mad we were having fun.
Yeah, well, the hipsters don't want to have fun. The hipsters just want to, you know, they want to suffer. They're above everything. She's probably mad that she didn't have the imagination to come up with that costume. And so she's like, screw you for just having a brain and having creativity. And I'm just following a trend. Let me get another knit cap.
I just don't get people like that.
No offense to Dr. Mrs. Casey Cody's wife for wearing a big knit cap.
You're half the time you're going to accidentally call her by her first name. The other half you'll just call.
Listen, the wedding podcast is already off to a rocky start. Let's be honest.
This is actually off to pretty much par for the course.
Yes, exactly. That's what I mean. But you made it seem like, oh my God, things are crazy. We're not talking about what we were supposed to talk about. We'll get to it. We always get to it.
I know. And now I know about the appetizer.
And I liked your costume. I liked the pictures. It was very funny. I was dressed as Red Play-Doh during the day.
I saw that. Yeah, all red.
All red. That got the big, I got a lot of kudos at school for the extra effort to wear the red pants as well. Because, listen, when you have $10 at Walmart, you can do whatever you want.
You didn't have red pants?
I did. I had red sweatpants and a red sweatshirt on. I was all in red.
Yeah, but you had those before. You didn't need $10.
I went and it was $6 for the pants and $12. I'm a liar. $6 for the sweatshirt, $6 for the pants.
No, but you didn't buy them for today, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you already you didn't already own red pants?
No, why would I own red pants?
Why would you own a lot of things you own?
Well, that's true, but no, red sweatpants is not one of the things. Now I own them. Now I'm ready.
Exactly.
And I can multi-purpose them at Christmas. I could go as thing one and or thing two next year for Halloween, all dressed in red. I'm all set.
And now
$12 investment, I'm covered for multiple holidays.
Right, and if somebody else asks you in 6 months, why do you have red pants? You know, or I thought you had red pants. You're not going to be able to say, why would you think I have red pants? Because of course you have red pants.
Well, the red sweats are different than red pants. I have the red pants with the ornaments embroidered on them for Christmas time. That's a different red pant. That's a slack almost, more than a pant. But yeah, I have those, but not just plain red.
All right.
So everybody else just had like a shirt and then they wore jeans or leggings. And not me. They're like, so all the teachers thought I went the extra mile. $6. Suddenly I'm a hero.
Women love leggings.
Women do love leggings.
Have you been to a Trader
Joe's? Present company included.
Have you been to a Trader Joe's lately?
Why, no. That sounded much more negative than it should have. No, I haven't been to one lately.
That sounded exactly as negative as I would imagine you saying it.
I've gone to Trader Joe's. I used to buy their $3 chuck when it was $2. I've bought other things at Trader Joe's. I have nothing against Trader Joe's. They have some sort of green salsa that I use for my white chicken chili. Why do they sell a lot of leggings at Trader Joe's?
Is that
a new thing?
No one there wears pants. I had a theory for a long time running that a female is not allowed in Trader Joe's if she is wearing any kind of...
Are you talking about an employee or the
anyone?
The
no,
stay-at-home
customers. Customers. All
oh,
the customers.
Sure.
No, the not
young
just
ladies.
Stay-at-home moms.
No,
my wife is not
ladies,
a mom.
No, the young ladies who are off to yoga class or zipping about town in their Lululemons.
No.
Of course, they're very, you know, they need the looseness of moving about. Plus, let's be honest, it shapes the booty. No matter what size your booty is, it looks better in a yoga pant.
I'm not complaining about this.
No.
I'm just saying. And I'm drinking, by the way, for the listener, I'm drinking a Goose Island Winter Ale,
which
lovely newlywed wife brought into
what
the studio
is up
for
with
us
that?
To enjoy. She's hovering. She's going to raise her hand or throw something
no,
at
that
me
was,
if she wants to.
When I got the text that, you know, she didn't trust you to talk about the wedding without her here, I was a little bit nervous. Because I don't know if she understands the appetizer. You obviously don't. The, you know.
You could have told me this in the pre-production meeting, which we've never once had.
Right, which
the
is
podcast.
What studio we're in, the one in the back. Okay. That's our pre-production meeting.
You're very adamant about knowing which studio we're in. I don't even know the name
right,
of the studio.
Right, and then you wouldn't even let me sit in my chair.
Well.
My normal chair when we're in this studio.
It makes buzzing noises.
Yeah, Mr. Thumpy. All right, let's get to this wedding because let's be honest, it was the social event of late October. There's no doubt about it. The green tie ball was over. Most of the fundraisers don't start till November, so you guys were it the weekend of October 20th. This was your weekend, as evidenced by the fact that God smiled on you in an unbelievable way to get a 76-degree day in October. Because I thought of you this past Friday when it was like 12 degrees and sleety.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank God I'm not standing out on the lake this week.
I figured.
That would have sucked.
America's a capitalist country, so I figure 1 degree for every $1,000 we spend. So just throw that at the way. It didn't cost $76,000.
If your wedding cost $76,000, as lovely as it was, you got ripped off.
But I do like to joke with my wife every time we talk about how much it was, I just add $8,000 or $9,000.
You have to. I heard you spent a quarter mil.
It was something around there.
I heard you had to pay for all the gold gilding in the reception hall.
Yeah, in the gold room. That was definitely an added cost I hadn't anticipated.
Of course, when they make you re-leaf everything.
Right.
We have to have fresh gold before every event in here, and that's on you.
We had to re-gild the gold room.
Sure. And what struck me as odd is that they wouldn't let you just use, piggyback on the last event's gold. Because I'm guessing it wouldn't have faded that much.
Right.
Because the gold is very high up in the ceiling. We're from, and I'm tall, you're tall, but we're not even tall enough to actually get a close look at the gold.
Not even a little bit.
No, you just get the hint, the aura of the gold.
But it's the devil's in the details, Brian.
I guess so. Is he?
I don't know where the devil is because he was not anywhere around
he
my
wasn't,
wedding weekend.
Oh, not the social event of late October,
no.
2017.
No. So where do you want to start?
Well, let's start. Listen. All right. First, I'm going to start with a bone that I have to pick with you.
Uh-oh.
About the rehearsal dinner where I was told, it's going to be very casual. Very casual. So I take you at your word. Very casual. I come in some jeans, some fashion denim. I wasn't out in the yard all day. I wasn't, a farmer. I came in nice jeans and then a shirt, an untucked kind of fashion-y shirt. And you're in a sport coat and
jeans.
Your lovely bride is in a dress. All the bridesmaids are in dresses. Then thankfully the other groomsmen showed up and they look like
exactly.
They just came off the street.
They look
so
like
I didn't
crap.
Feel bad. Right. But I would have jazzed it up a little bit. I was already under pressure to wear something stylish to the wedding because what do we call you? Can we use your name? All right. Now you can talk. There's a microphone. It's okay. Everybody knows you're here. So Casey had said, I'm looking forward to seeing what you wear because you always dress so nice. So now I got that pressure on me. And then I show up in jeans and an untucked shirt to the rehearsal. I would have appetizered my outfit.
I'm going to push back on you because I feel you were dressed perfectly fine. You were dressed up.
I was?
In my mind, you were dressed up. You were wearing a nice shirt and jeans. All I was wearing was a nice shirt and jeans. I just happened to tuck mine in and wear a sport coat. Because I'm the groom.
You are the groom.
To speak later, which was, let's not even talk about that, because I didn't prepare for whatever toast I was supposed to give.
That wasn't prepared?
I wasn't prepared. Oh, yeah, shut up.
Because it was smooth, baby. What? Smooth.
Yeah.
It was nice. And I've got to say, you guys made a wonderful choice because we did kind of a rehearsal in a room at the hotel where you had your reception.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me later that they had pitched you as having your ceremony in that room.
Yeah. So the Congress Plaza Hotel has two big rooms. They've got the Florentine room, which is where we held our rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
We did not want to do the ceremony there because it's kind of like a hallway with dark wood.
Yeah.
And it's got an arched ceiling. But on the ceiling are giant murals of merchants.
Yeah, it was very...
From the 1700s?
Yeah, and then they had like a... And I know they would have fixed it up. I know if you were actually having your ceremony there, they would have dressed it up. But like the backdrop, the night we were there, it was kind of dipped in the middle. And hey, it was all, because the rest of the hotel, the rehearsal or the reception room was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they just were like, you can rehearse in there because nothing's going on.
Yeah.
Nothing going on.
There was actually a wedding there the next night.
Oh, was there really?
Or the night after our wedding.
Okay.
So, but in the Golden Room, we had the Golden Room, which we'll get to, where the reception was, which is out of control. We had the option to have the ceremony in there and then flip the room.
Oh.
But we wanted to have that kind of wow factor. We felt that some of that would be lost if you spent the whole night in there. So we just decided we would do it offsite somewhere, and then I also wanted some like natural light a little bit.
Sure.
There are no windows in the Gold Room, even though it's beautiful. So, you know, the ceremony site we'll get to too. But yeah, the Florentine Room, not for us.
No.
I just thought it was too dark, no windows, kind of not stuffy, but it works for a lot of people, but not us.
Okay.
So thank you for, yes.
No, it was great. And that was the, I'll be honest, that was the loosest rehearsal I've ever been to. Because I think everybody was trying to figure out, oh, what do we do tomorrow? How does this work? Are we going to walk in?
1,000 details in this wedding, and the last thing we talked about was
the ceremony.
When did we send you the vows?
Thursday. No, wait, Wednesday, because you got married. The rehearsal was Thursday. You sent them to me on Wednesday.
Yeah, we didn't even look at the vows until 2 days before the wedding.
And the funny thing was, I had vows and stuff. I brought my, in case I needed to reference my script, but I had vows chosen that I'd gone through with Debbie and stuff, and they were almost exactly like the vows you guys sent me.
Wow.
So I used yours, just so you know. I did use the ones that you sent me. But I was like, oh, these are very similar. So.
All right. So let's, I think, I want to hear about
jump ahead.
I want to hear about your week, actually.
My week?
Your Thursday and your Friday kind of leading up, and then once you get to the ceremony, say it, we'll jump up to my couple days, and then we'll meet at the ceremony.
All right. Well, it was...
How totally out of your mind were you? And Roger Badish is going to join us in a second here.
I was, well, you know this because I talked to you about it. I was very, very nervous. Not because I had to stand in front of people and talk, not because of having to write stuff, but because you can't sit there, Roger, that buzzes. Don't sit in that chair.
There's a buzzy noise over there.
There's a buzz in that chair.
Yeah.
Don't just trust us. Cody will have a conniption. Oh, boy.
He doesn't believe us.
He will have that's why I'm sitting over here. But because I didn't want to screw up your wedding. That's why I was so nervous.
Right.
Because even when you asked me, and I know we've told the story, I didn't believe it. I didn't speak. Debbie had to elbow me to get me to answer. Because I just kept saying, are you serious?
Yeah.
Not that I wasn't honored. Because I was. It's a huge honor. And with that honor came, like Spider-Man, great responsibility.
Great responsibility, yeah.
So I didn't want to screw up. So I had everything written a week and a half ahead of time. And then over that last week, I would edit and add things and take some things out. And even that Friday, you know, I would read it to Debbie. And then I timed it, and I timed it a bunch before we got to the rehearsal so I'd be able to tell you, listen, here's kind of where it was. And I took it from an hour 10 down to 6 minutes. So the editing was incredible.
Yeah.
and then, you know, so by Thursday, by the time I saw you guys, I was pretty confident. My biggest fear, and I told you this too, was that I was going to cry during it because as I rehearsed it at home, every time I got to a certain line... First time I broke down completely through the whole thing.
Wow.
One, because I'm a wonderful writer.
Yeah.
And two, because it was, you know, because I just, you know, I couldn't believe you were making this mistake. No, that's not true. But then it got to the point where only one line was choking me up, which was good. I was like, all right, well, this is pretty good. I can make it through all the way to the one. And even Thursday before the rehearsal, I did it and I choked up. Friday, I choked up again. Practicing it at like lunchtime, and then I choked up less. So I was writing in the Uber to the ceremony. I was making changes. Debbie was trying to talk to me. I was like, you can't talk to me. I'm infuriated because the Uber driver, you know how much I hate to cede control of the car.
Yeah.
This Uber driver, we left very early because I did not want to be late.
Oh, I figured you'd be there 2 hours.
I did not want to be late. So we got in the Uber at 3 and maybe a little before, like 10 to 3. And he starts going the right way. And then, because I'm watching the map, and I'm like, okay, he's going down Oak Park. He's going to take Central down to 55. We're going to shoot up. Perfect. Okay. I know it's Friday. That's why we get. All of a sudden, he's on Oak Park. He calls an audible and gets on Ogden heading north. And I'm like, Debbie sees me, and I'm now I've folded the paper back up because I can't write, I can't concentrate. And I said, I let him go a little bit, and then we're sitting on Ogden. I go, "Hey, man, what's the plan?" He goes, "Well, the plan is I'm going to go as you know, it's Friday." I said, "How?" Oh no! At first, I said, "How are you getting to 55?" "Well, I'm not going to 55. It's all backed up. You know, it's Friday." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know." So he keeps going on Ogden. Now, Ogden, if you don't know, travels diagonal north to south, or in south to north. So we're heading, we have to be at Promontory Point, which is 5500 south on Lakeshore Drive. He picked me up at 29th Street. Now, he had gone down to like 34th Street. By the time I call him out again, now he's gone back north on Ogden, back like past Cermak. He's up almost to Pilsen, Cody.
What? Wow.
Almost to Pilsen. I know your favorite neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I say, now I say, what's the plan? Well, I was going to try to go as far far east as I could. I'm like, yeah, but we're heading north, and we have to be south on Lakeshore Drive. So then he's messing with his map, you know, on his app. He ended up going the way. Had he stayed on the original route, we would have been about 15 minutes earlier because he ended up having to circle back and get on the original route.
I hate when Uber drivers do this. Ooh. This happened to us at Guns N' Roses at Soldier Field. I missed almost all of Alice in Chains because this Uber driver decided that he wanted to take Wacker instead
of... He knows better.
You know, instead of where satellites and computers are telling him to go. We missed almost all of the... I was furious.
Oh, and I was steaming. And then once he got... Then what killed me was we got on 55. Yeah, it was packed. Going south, going north, there was no traffic.
Oh, my God.
If he had just gone the right way. Anyway, but then he says, so I'm already like, we're giving him a bad review. Then he says, well, I've canceled the ride because I went so far out of the way. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he had difficulty, as many people did, finding where the venue was. But
yeah.
So that was the thing. I was writing all the way up to making little changes. When we got to there, after I checked in with you and said hi to some people, I kind of went off by myself and I was up in the building.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was by myself and I was making more notes and going over things. Only because I didn't, you know, I didn't want to screw things up.
Of course, yeah. No, so, I know how you prepare, so I knew that you kind of had to get in your space. Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, Promontory Point is not a thing that you just pop in Uber or Lyft and get to.
No.
So we screwed that up. So in the invitation, so on our website, kcandcody.com, I'll probably cut that out too, but on our website,
which I never went to. I probably should have gone.
This is the thing. We put our website on the Save the Date, which was smart. Everybody can go. Yeah, get sure. Yeah, the Save the Date originally, which everybody can see. We did not put our website on the invitation, which was a huge mistake because no one knew where exactly to go. No one saw where we were registered.
Yeah, for your second wedding, put the registry on there. I fielded texts from this one. Debbie was all over. Where are they registered? That's why
me,
I was texting you.
Yeah.
Hey, where are you registered?
Yeah.
It's on our website. Come on. We're old people. Put it in the thing. Registered at.
And the invitations were beautiful.
Oh, gorgeous. Everything was top of the line.
Right? But I would say the one weak point in the whole planning process was not really the specifying where exactly to go on Promontory Point because you have to get out in a parking lot and then kind of follow a path to get there.
Right. And there are no signs.
And we were going
Promontory Point.
Right, no. And we were going to put signs up.
Right.
But we were just so busy and just had so much crap going on, we just didn't.
And you had a ride in onto the point. You didn't need to worry about it.
Yeah, I didn't have to worry about it. But here's the thing, though. And here's the thing. Everyone made it.
Everybody did make it.
And on time. I mean, we started maybe a couple minutes late like most weddings do. But honestly, I remember standing up there with the groomsmen and you, and we're talking to the photographer and all that. And there's a lot of people standing around because it's outside. It was 75 degrees because someone sold their soul to the devil. And everybody's enjoying themselves. And I just remember after taking some photos, I looked down and I was like, oh my God, there's like 130 people sitting down in
seats. Your reaction was funny. You were like, oh. This is real.
That was when it seemed the most real to me. Up until that point, it was kind of, all right, you know, things are happening. But like once I saw 100 some people sitting down in the chairs, like waiting for it to start, that's when I was like, oh.
We're here for you guys.
Let's go. I'll take a wild stab at why everybody was there so early. Based on my own experience, noticing, Promontory Point. Boy, I've never heard of that before. There's the address. Let me punch it in. And it's like, okay, how do we get out there? Mm-hmm. Is there a driveway? Is there? And then you mentioned, because I brought it up with you, said, oh, there's a parking lot, and we can get you in closer. The parking lot's not far away, because, you know, I was worried about Bridget walking. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, it's not that far. I go, okay. And so I'm looking, and I start zooming in on the map, and I'm going, well, all right, parking. I know this place because I used to go out to 87th and Jeffrey to teach all the time, so I've been past that spot for 10 years.
Sure.
You know, so I know about the parking there. And I go, all right, there's the parking. Boy, I hope that's not as far as it looks for the walk. Yeah. And I says, honey, let's leave early. And I think that's what a lot of people did.
Well, and being 5 o'clock, the ceremony was supposed to start at 5 on a Friday. So, yeah, you left early. And thank God we did, because our Uber driver, we went south, we passed, then we got back north on Lake Shore, and we were going in a circle. And finally, I pulled up a website about Promontory Point, and there was a heading, how to get there. Oh. And I was like, hang on. All right, go to 55th Street, go over, there's a parking lot, and then we have to walk under a tunnel. I was like, that's how we get there. Get me to 55th Street.
But you know, when I think about it, everyone still made it.
Everybody did make it.
I don't think it was insurmountable.
I don't know, one of your aunts almost didn't make it. You were down, and everybody was out. The ladies were all getting their picture taken. There was some worry from your mother that perhaps one of your aunts was not going to make it.
Oh,
I heard the phrase, well, just get out on Lakeshore Drive and walk. I heard that phrase.
So a couple people almost.
But they made it.
But so I don't feel that bad, because I'm like, you know, everybody that's coming is an adult. They can all handle themselves. They figured it out. Everybody figured it out. It wasn't the hardest thing.
And it was
in the
world. Beautiful walk there from underneath the
overpass.
And, except when we were going back and there were gangs of toughs. Remember that? That was horrifying.
Toughs. We just had one guy who kept showing up in front of us. Then he sat down, and then 20 feet later, he's in front of us.
Oh, we passed you, I guess, on the walk. Because we amble fast. There was a huge group of
urban youths.
It was scary.
What?
They were loud and running around. And
are you talking about my groomsmen?
No. I'm talking about people in the tunnel going back to the parking lot.
Oh, that group. Yes. I remember seeing that. That group. When we were in the tunnel. And they went right and we went left into the parking lot. And it's such a beautiful parking lot, because when we pulled in, Trump?
No. It's a beautiful parking lot. Best parking lot ever. You can put as many cars in there as you want.
I thought this was going to be a great parking lot, because we pulled in, and there was a car that we were a couple of spots next to, and next to the car was this huge bottle of wine, empty,
nice,
and a big bag of whatever they had consumed, food, just sitting next to the car. Car was empty. Nobody was around.
And that makes a good parking lot?
That makes a good parking lot. Because
for
it was a fine bottle of wine. It was a fine bottle of wine sitting on the ground. Then we came back, and there was a guy with a pickup truck parked next to us having a beer. And we said, hi, how you
doing?
Had Karen right. was with us. And so the guy was saying, and we were parked right next to us. I said, do we have room to get in on that other side for Bridget and everything, on the passenger side? And he says, oh, yeah, we're here for a picnic. And he's got chairs and beer and coolers and food. I'm thinking, reception or picnic? Reception or picnic?
I don't know. What were they serving at the picnic?
Chicken. Hmm. He had some chicken. Had some good cold brews. Nothing fancy like this. Kind of just your basic, you know.
Well, we got out of it because that was the other thing.
Give a shout out to Charlie at Promontory Point.
Yeah. Oh man, he hooked me up because he said everybody's leaving. You guys had a bus. You were set. You didn't have to worry about getting back to the reception. But everybody else was going down. We all had to walk out the exact same way to the same good parking lot, and wait for Ubers. But one of the guys, I was telling him about my travails of trying to find the place. And he goes, always go to Bar Louie. Just tell me you're going to the Bar Louie, which is right across from the good parking lot. Yes, there's a good Bar Louie. So we, on the way back, Debbie and I were going with our good friend Craig Collins and his lovely bride, who wore very nice shoes, big high heels, she didn't know she was going to have to walk.
Oh.
So she
it happens. It we're, happen. We're focusing so much on the negative.
No, 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 not the negative. No, no, it's but, not but negative. The, it's no,
I'm, I know
but this is the positive. The positive was, by the time we got to Bar Louie, our Uber was waiting for us like it was our own private chauffeur.
Uh-huh.
Everybody else was milling about on the good parking lot. We crossed the street. We were in a boom. We were gone. It was no. Listen,
I'll
we're
tell
not,
you, when we were looking at locations. Think, we thought about getting our ceremony in that parking lot.
It's a good
know?
Parking lot.
When we first saw it, it's like, you know, the lake is there, but this
you
could have
just
lot,
had a picnic.
It was tremendous.
Yeah,
big a couple
picnic,
of bottles of wine,
some nice bottles of wine, yeah, sack of food.
Yeah,
everybody's happy. No, listen, we focus on that because it makes a good story about people getting, you know, getting harassed by urban youths in the tunnel. But the only thing that went a little bit wrong at the reception was the or at the wedding was the audio.
And you heard about the excuse for the speaker not working,
no.
right? Oh, you didn't hear this.
I didn't hear this.
Oh my god! All right,
tell people because we didn't talk about this on Sunday.
Right, so we rented a wireless speaker with a wireless microphone, so Brian could,
nice.
Didn't have to yell over 130 people
because I'm soft spoken.
Right, of course.
And we're outside.
Here's the thing. You can project, but you, I don't know, with 100 people.
And you don't want people to have to strain to hear your wedding. What did he say?
Exactly. So, you know, Brian's projecting as a good live person does. Even if you've got a microphone, you still project.
Sure.
Everybody knows that. And we've got the wireless mic and the speakers.
And we tested it.
We did test it.
We tested it.
Well, but we tested it, but then I think we moved the speaker a couple feet.
Oh,
and I think that's what happened. I think I asked my cousin to move it like one or like a little bit to make sure it was stable before we started the ceremony. So I think that couple feet actually made a difference. But anyway, so it kept cutting in and out. And then during the ceremony, Brian just at some point is like, is this thing working? And everybody's like, no. He's like, can y'all hear me? They're like, yeah. And he's like, all right, I don't need it. And he made some joke, like brilliantly improvising your way through it in the middle of this emotional ceremony that you're already trying to keep it together during, which was expertly done, which is again, why we asked you to do this. Like, this is the kind of stuff where it's like, well, yeah, Brian's going to be on it. But my brother returned it to the equipment place, and he said, yeah, it didn't work. And the guy goes, oh, you didn't tell me it was on the lake. It was by water. And he's like,
was it in the water?
What? No, he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, well, if it's near the water, it's not going to work.
Oh, what?
Baloney. I am dead serious. What? I am dead serious. And Zach was just like, well, yeah, tell him
it's
if
near
you
the
ever,
water.
He's like, tell him if he comes back and rents from me, then I'll give him a discount. But yeah, he said that because water disrupts wireless.
Baloney.
First of all,
baloney.
We weren't on the shore. We were
no.
far enough. All right. Well, that's listen. He's a professional. That's his business. He would know. We wouldn't.
He's a professional at making excuses.
Yeah.
That's the worst excuse I've ever heard.
Seriously.
That rivals some of your excuses that you've used over the years here.
Yeah.
Oh, you were near the water. Oh, you were outside? Yeah, humidity.
Well, you were on grass?
That doesn't work. Can't have grass.
Wait a minute.
Well, your guy spoke English? That's a problem.
Right. Which way
these
were you
microphones
facing?
Are for Spanish speakers.
We were facing west. Oh, sorry. It doesn't work in the west.
Yeah, the Republicans control the Senate? Ah, well, that'll get you.
Boom.
Yeah.
So that was really the excuse.
That really was the excuse.
He didn't give him any money back or anything?
No.
Yeah,
wow.
And
he said if he
comes to rent from us again, we'll give him a discount.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Back to that guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like never.
Toby, you've got an event on a boat. See what he says. Now that was me getting up to the point, and then we can talk about the ceremony, but how did you do?
Yeah, so my day.
Because you seemed calm.
My day, I show up in my, the groomsman and I prepared in my dad's hotel suite or whatever, because the ladies had the bridal suite. Now,
tell people about your shirt.
No.
Yes.
I really don't want to do that.
You don't want to tell people about your shirt?
How much did I tell you about the shirt?
I knew everything about your shirt. I know how upset your mother was about your shirt.
Here's what happened Thursday. All right, so about 2 or 3 weeks before the wedding, I try my... No, actually, this is when I got my tuxedo.
Let me say this. You looked great,
thank
by
you.
The way.
You
thank looked you. Phenomenal
yeah.
in the midnight blue tuxedo.
Thank you. That was... I'm glad I went with that.
If the Congress had a lounge, you could have picked up some dough after the reception. You looked fantastic.
So I, when I got my tuxedo a few months ago, I tried it on and showed it to Casey, and she was like, well, I think the shirt's too big. You should return it and get a new one. Great. Fine. I don't have time for that most of the time.
Who's got time to return a shirt?
So... I'm getting everything lined up for the wedding, all the little details, all the little gift bags and all the little table cards and all these other things. And of course, I mean, Casey's doing a lot of it, obviously, but like I'm helping coordinate and make sure everything gets done. And then Thursday rolls around and I'm like, all right, well, I got one thing to do. I got to go get a shirt. So I end up spending about 5 hours going to every store in downtown Chicago looking for a shirt because I'm freakishly tall and thin enough to where no one has my size. Oh, so I end up buying two tuxedo shirts that are closer to my size but still a little big. I'm a 15 and a half neck, 36, 37 sleeve. Problem is most 36, 37 sleeves start at 16, which is what I ended up wearing.
Okay.
Because I could not get, and the one that I had was 16 and a half, so it was an improvement. But anyway, so I spent all day doing that. I'm running around frantically. I'm way stressed out because I'm like worried about the speakers. Because when I reserved the speakers, they insisted I had to have a code and they had to be under the person's name picking them up. And if I didn't present this secret code that they emailed me,
Lord.
I wouldn't get the speakers. And my brother Zach is great.
You would have been much better off losing that code, in hindsight.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, really.
My brother Zach is wonderful. But when I texted him and asked him to take care of things, the chances of them being taken care of, I had no idea what the chances were. Zero to 100%.
Not a lot of confidence?
Later in the day, turns out, he picked it up. He paid a little extra to upgrade it. Like, he did all that stuff. He was awesome. Perfect. But the shirt was a bit problematic. So I finally, I'm
but
getting
But you did find a shirt.
I'm running around getting all this shirt and stuff. Meanwhile, Casey's out with her bridesmaids at a spa in the suburbs.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
For 8 hours.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, day before your wedding, I'm running around like a madman on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
I went to...
Where did you find it?
I got two. I don't even remember which one I wore. All right. I got one at Suit Supply up in the Viagra Triangle, and I got one... I got one at the Hugo Boss store on Michigan. Yeah, I know. I spent too much money. So...
should have just had it custom made. Go all bespoke.
At that point, I might as well. It was rough. So I had a rough Thursday. So I'm like freaking out all day. Finally, get everything. All right, we're good. And then the rehearsal dinner occurred, and that was all fine. And then Friday, I'm getting ready. My dad's
the rehearsal home. Dinner was nice. By the way, we glossed over it. It was a very nice affair. I got to sit near Casey next to Casey's mom and dad, and met her side of the family. Got to see your brothers again and your sister. Who, if I was your sister, I would. I'd take some umbrage with your parents. Your family completely glosses her over her nonstop.
That was hilarious.
Every toast, she is forgotten. You and your brothers, the apples of your parents' eyes. And then there's your sister.
Which is...
Who's kind of there, you know.
The opposite of reality.
Right. But it's like why doesn't anybody mention her?
That was kind of funny.
She's very nice.
That's kind of funny. She's great.
Smart.
Give a hilarious toast.
All your family did.
Yeah, all the
toasts were nice.
Everything was,
We'll jump ahead.
We'll get to those. All right, so
not me.
Friday rolls around. I'm getting ready in my dad's hotel suite. Here's the situation.
Hadn't polished your shoes, I heard, too.
We got that taken care of. We're good. So I'm in my dad's hotel suite. The groomsmen start to kind of show up. My brothers are texting me nonstop. Where are we going to be? When are we going to be there? My brother Zach brought his girlfriend.
Weren't they staying at the hotel?
They were all staying at the hotel.
Okay.
So my brother texts me. He's like, hey, so where am I going? I was like, he calls me. I'm like, be in the suite at 2. We're going to get ready. He's like, all right, so I should bring my girlfriend? I'm like, no, you're getting ready with the groomsmen, which is what groomsmen do. He's like, well, what's she going to do? I'm like, Zach,
be a grown up.
She's an adult woman, and she's definitely capable of taking care of herself. Like, she's a lovely lady.
She's very nice.
Very good at taking care of herself. We have 100 family members staying at this hotel. And he's like, well, I don't know where anybody is. Like, throw
Go
a
to
rock.
The bar.
Throw a rock, and you'll hit a golf. Yeah. Like, they were everywhere. And he's like, all right, well, I don't know what to do with her. And I was like, let her
in your
figure
room.
It out.
She'll be fine.
She's an adult. She can do makeup or whatever girls do. I don't know. So
go for a spa day.
This is what's happening on my end. My dad comes and he drops something off or picks something up from the bridal suite. He comes back. He goes, man, it's a party in that bridal suite. Oh, the girl's got a party sub, and they're all, there's hairspray everywhere. If you light a match, the room will probably explode, and everyone's laughing and joking, and all the, and Casey later is like, all my bridesmaids were like, oh, can I get you this? Oh, can I help this, you know, help you with
nice,
this?
Yeah.
So the opposite of the groomsmen, who are just useless for the most part. Except for, like, my cousin, I mean, Zach did take care of the speaker, thank God. Michael, I'm like, hey, can you handle the rings? He's like, yeah, I got it. I knew I could trust him. Right. We're good. So we go downstairs, and the bridal suite, we used Limo Bank for our vendor. What was the name of the driver? Do you remember? Oh, we don't know. So whatever driver was with Limo Bank, Casey swears by. So we okay. recommend Limo Bank because the driver got down to Promontory Point. He knew exactly where to go.
Oh, sure.
He knew where the access roads were. He got them door to door, brought down the bridesmaids. Great.
Nice.
The groomsmen were going to take Ubers, basically, to get from the Congress Hotel down to Promontory Point.
Same one Brian was taking?
No, he was already up in Ravenswood.
Well, here's the thing.
He had no idea. He did not know.
Here's the thing to keep in mind. I have only ever used two Uber services, Uber X and Uber Pool. Oh. I've never used Uber Black.
Oh.
You know, Uber Black is
sure.
when you get picked up in like
a town car.
Luxury car, right?
Yeah.
I failed to remember that existed. So some regular sedan rolls up.
Oh,
I jump in with two of my groomsmen, the three of us in the back seat of just some random economy car, and no air conditioning or whatever.
Oh, and our guy didn't have air either. He had the windows. He had the windows down. And Debbie had spent all this time doing her hair, and her hair's blowing around.
Did you take an Uber Black?
No.
Right.
The driver was, but I don't think that counts.
We both should have probably taken an Uber Black down to. So yeah, we were just squeezed in the back, and he's like, so how you guys doing? And they're like, well, this guy's getting married. And he's like, ha, cool. And then he turns up the B96 or whatever. It was very stupid. That was the dumbest thing I did. So we unload from this car all sweating now that we've become even closer.
Yeah. I didn't even think about Uber Black.
Right, exactly. Who does?
Nobody, because we're always fancy people. People in tuxes with well-fitting shirts who are going to get married. Maybe they use it. Officiants with wives who've done their hair use it. Instead of getting in the back of an Impala with velour seats for a guy who doesn't trust technology.
Yeah, well, we get down there anyway. The ceremony, I mean, Promontory Point, if you've not been there, is beautiful. And second of all, accessing it is phenomenal. So I'm not a biker, but my wife loves riding her bicycle. And if you get south of the loop, apparently Lakeshore Drive, the whole trail is empty. No one's ever down there. And you can just...
Because there's wolves.
Yeah. Is that what there are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are scared of wolves.
Oh, badgers.
Badgers, too. Mm-hmm. And the ne'er-do-wells drinking the bottles of wine.
Yeah, right.
Sure. But
they eat well.
Guys having picnics.
Apparently a beautiful ride down there. So go there anytime. What
did you hear during the ceremony, speaking of picnics and drinking bottles of wine, a couple guys, because we were like up and there's a trail below that dropped the wall that was behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There were like two guys at a picnic table who were whooping it up.
Were they?
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't hear them.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
All I remember was staring at my wife, and our eyes were locked.
You guys were frighteningly intense staring at each other, and I wasn't sure if it was so that you didn't break up, or that because you said to her when you started, "Don't look at anybody."
I said that to you,
right? You said it to Casey too.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Don't look at anybody.
Well, it's because Brian and I, we walked down, and then I'm standing there, and I made the mistake of glancing at my mother, and of course she is just already done, like the second she sees me. And here's the thing about my family. My siblings and I are not big criers, but when we see either of my parents cry or start to lose it, we are done. It's game over. Like, I've been to funerals of family members where I can keep it together relatively well, and when I see my mom lose it, I just lose my mind.
Yeah.
We all die. Zach has shown up way late to several funerals just because, and like not sat near my mom because he knows he's done. Game over. So I knew the second I saw my mom, I just turned to you and I was just like, don't look at my family, and I'm not looking at anyone now.
And you and Casey stared at each other with a grip of your eyes that I had never seen before.
And I felt weird because I didn't hold her hands. I just kind of had my hands held in front of me. And then I was thinking the whole time, I was like, should I like hold her hands? Like, I feel like I'm being kind of like distant or whatever.
Well, you're probably frozen in your spot you couldn't move if you tried. Seriously.
Well, it was really nice because you came down and I was standing there with you. And then the groomsmen and the bridesmaids came down. And they were coming from a building that was elevated. So it was up maybe, 20 yards away, 25 yards away? And it
maybe
was high.
10, 12 steps up?
Yeah. And so they were coming. And it was a nice long procession.
Mm-hmm.
And watching everybody in the string quartet, you had a nice string quartet there, which was very classy.
Yes, our friend Icebag John is dating a woman who plays violin and she plays in string quartets. So she offered, when we told her we were thinking about a string quartet for the ceremony, she said, "Can I play at your wedding?" And I was like, "Yeah, we would love
that." Sure,
very cool.
Yeah,
that was very nice. So the mood, the atmosphere was great. There was no haze. The skyline behind looked great. So the scene was set for a perfect, perfect ceremony.
75 and sunny, and we set up the chairs right at the bottom of the hill, right in front of the lake. Yep. There was no wind. It was not too bright, not too cloudy. You could see the skyline perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was just totally perfect. It was, I don't know how it happened.
It was one of the most beautiful moments that I've seen on a lakefront.
Oh, thank you.
A beautiful bottle of wine in a parking lot.
No, because that was back in the parking lot. That was back in the parking lot.
Top five.
But seriously, it's when we got there and I sat down, and your wife says, "I know that voice." And I thought, "Oh, hi." But we sat down, and I started to look around. And I didn't see those two guys partying.
Yeah, because they were you wouldn't have seen them unless you were standing where I was.
But if you look to the left, in other words, to the north, you could see people walking there.
And there was another, there was just past where you guys were, there was another, we couldn't tell if it was another wedding because it seemed to, it was a much more casual affair.
Yeah.
There
was another group of people, mostly girls. I believe.
I don't know. There was a group. There was something going on there. Yeah. I couldn't tell if it was another wedding or not.
When we got there, and I started to look around, and I'm like, "This is." I look back to where you guys were up on by the building, and I'm looking at the beautiful trees. And like you say, there was barely any breeze. Perfect temperature. The lake looked beautiful. There weren't a lot of party boats out there honking their horns and stuff. And I started taking pictures from the site and posting it. And I have lived
which you were
in
not
this
supposed
town
to do.
Not during
all
this
my
ceremony.
Life. I didn't identify who it was. I just said it was a perfect day for a wedding. I didn't say whose or what. I didn't say where I was.
No. You were just not supposed to do it during the ceremony.
No, Debbie checked on that too, right when we got there.
So
they said I could take pictures before the ceremony. All right. Well, then take pictures before the ceremony.
But seriously, born and raised in this town. Been to the lakefront 10 billion thousand times. That's a real number.
I let that one go.
Thank you. And have even had ceremonies along the lakefront that I've been at, official city ceremonies. This was perfect.
Well, thank you.
And I am so appreciative that you guys invited us, and we just had a marvelous time. And in spite of the ne'er-do-wells and the utes, in the park,
no. It was
our walk there and our walk back was just delightful.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember what I said to you when Casey began her walk down the aisle?
Yeah, you said, "Remember this moment." Remember this moment.
Pay attention because there's so much going on during a wedding that sometimes because you guys have been so focused on the details up to that point. And getting there, and now it's happening, and you're thinking, you know, there's a danger that maybe you're thinking past it. Oh, is everybody going to make it to the reception? What's going on? Is he going to screw up, or am I going to look at my mom? There's a lot going on. And I remember when I got married, all that stuff was in my head, and when Debbie started coming down the aisle, I made a conscious effort to say, stop and look and remember this, because it's not going to happen again. So, yeah, I was wondering if you'd...
But see, when you said remember this moment, remember this moment when she's walking down. I thought, don't look at anything else but Casey for the next 25 minutes. So the moment... You didn't
same
define
thing.
The moment part.
I didn't have a lot of time. It wasn't in my script. You know I don't ad lib well.
That's why there was so much staring.
There was a lot of staring.
No, and I remember that moment extremely well.
Yeah, you looked great coming down the aisle. Is this... All right, I'm gonna ask a question. If it's over the line, we'll gloss over it, because I had a number of people ask me after about your decision to walk down the aisle by yourself. Is that something that you're comfortable talking about, or should we just move on?
Yeah, I can talk about it.
Okay, no, I just, because Debbie asked and some other people asked, Casey walked down all by yourself? And I knew the answer because at the rehearsal, I had asked how you were going to make your entrance, whether it be on jetpack or however you were coming in, and Cody told me. But so why, if it's okay to ask, why'd you do it that way?
Yeah, no, hello?
Hey, get closer. Hey.
No, Cody actually, to contextualize this, Cody actually asked my father for my hand, which if you know my father, which you all do now, you know how hilarious that conversation must have been. But at one point my father seemed kind of like doubtful that I would say yes.
I remember you telling me that story.
Yeah. Yeah, my parents were like, you could ask.
Good luck with that. Wow.
I think that, you know, they think of me as an independent person, and that's kind of part of a quality that they tried to cultivate, and that was just kind of a way of expressing that. My sister also walked down the aisle by herself, so it was. I made sure that my dad had a toast and a first dance. So
oh no, your parents were
like,
right there, and yeah, no, it was snubbed, it was just no, and that was it was just. I knew that was the answer, and I thought it was very cool, but I didn't, you know.
I got a compliment actually, just one. After I was like, oh, very cool, like that you walked down by yourself, and I didn't realize it was such a radical move.
I thought it was elegant, actually. Oh, seriously, the gorgeous dress. Gorgeous you. Perfect moment. The lighting from the at that
nature's
hour
lighting
was perfect. I will say I was a little scared.
That I would fall down the stairs.
Thank you.
I was also scared of
dude,
that.
Dude, yeah. You and me both.
The shoes were great. And those stairs, they're the little pebble type stairs.
Yeah.
A little
yeah.
Slippery. And there's a little slanted. Downwards.
Yeah, because they were built by Chicago union workers. They're not. They're, nothing's perfect.
They're built for the World's
Bridget
Fair 100 years ago.
Said,
and they're outside.
Bridget and I were both saying, boy, I hope she doesn't fall.
What's a wedding without a little drama?
Well, and then once you pass the stairs, then you were on the grass, kind of on a slight incline, you mm-hmm. know, to get down to where we were standing.
So you got to wear the wedges. The wedges are key.
Treacherous.
That, that also, if you're planning an outdoor wedding, pro tip for the listeners, I had a relative, we went to her wedding, and she got married outside, and it was in a park, and it was freshly mowed grass.
Oh.
And when she walked through it, her train was
no.
A wreck. And that was a concern with us. We were like, do we need to get a carpet if it's going to be mm-hmm. outdoors? And we literally were too busy to even resolve that. So it was kind of like I think it'll be okay. And it totally was. Like your the dress was fine.
Everything looked good.
And I loved your like last second right when you got down to Cody and Brian, and one of your bridesmaids went behind your train to kind of straighten it, and you just had this marvelously defiant moment. I got this, even though you didn't say it, and you just reached back by yourself and whipped that train right around, right where it was supposed to be, right where you wanted it. Well, it was awesome.
There was a leaf on it. Oh. It bothered me.
I don't blame you then. You got to listen.
But the bridesmaids had, in addition to rehearsing how they would bustle it because they were awesome and were the opposite of Cody's groomsmen, as we discussed. So they actually drew a diagram of how the bustle would work, and then they also planned a whole, I'll hand you the bouquet, and then you hand your bouquet to so-and-so, and then I'll move this, and then you give this, and they had the whole thing, and then they rehearsed that.
Nice.
They did that spontaneously.
Why can't you guys do that?
Dude, ask my groomsmen.
Because they were trying to figure out what to do with adult women.
Yeah.
Where do we put our adult women? I don't know. Where do you usually put adult women? In the trunk? That's a bad answer.
Yeah,
that's not where you put them.
It's not going to get you very far.
You guys did something in the ceremony that I had never seen before. That was really cool, the Unity Box.
Yeah. I officiated one wedding for my friends through the Universal Life Church. And when I officiated that, they did that. They put a bottle of wine from that year in a box, and they each wrote a letter to each other, put it in the box, and they said, all right, this is the Unity Box. We'll open it in 5 years. They've written letters to each other to remind them of their love or whatever it was. So I straight up stole it. And it's one sentence, right? I sent you the sentence. You're just like, here it is.
Yeah.
And Casey and I decided to go with a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, it looked like good bourbon, too. It was fancy.
It was Blood Oath. bourbon.
Oh.
Yeah, from bottled in 2007.
Yeah,
or
I was impressed when they opened the Unity box. I was like, wow.
I know. It's been pretty solid.
That was
really top shelf.
Yeah. So very we did nice. That. We wrote each other a letter that morning, which was, you know, even though it's a crazy morning and hectic, we were able to, I think, you know, hopefully focus enough to. I don't know. Ask me in 10 years. Maybe I'll be like, oh, it's a crap letter.
So where's the box?
Box is kind of. So it's a treasure chest, right?
Yes.
So we got it in the shape of a treasure chest. We have this plant that Casey got me when we kind of first started dating. And so it was like 3 years ago. It's like almost a three-year-old plant. What kind of a plant is it?
It's a golden pothos.
A golden pothos.
Of course.
This plant is gigantic. It's like tribbles. It's just gigantic. It's
wow, it, foreshadowing.
The listeners don't know. Foreshadowing.
Didn't even be able to do that. But no,
oh, you did.
It's just huge. It's wrapped around like half our living room. So we kind of hid it on behind a bunch of the leaves. So it's kind of like a little secluded, hidden treasure chest. Kind
oh,
of
nice.
You should have dug down a few feet and buried it.
In 10 years, so 10
and
years,
then drawn
you're
up a treasure map.
Mm-hmm. Get all liquored up.
Time capsule.
10 years, we'll open it. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. The thing with wine is wine supposedly always gets better with time. Whiskey. Not necessarily, but we, I don't know, we just went with whiskey anyway. Well, and the box was too small to fit the wine. We got to Binny's and we realized, we can't really.
Our treasure chest will not hold. Maybe get one of those pouches, the juice pouches of wine.
We could have gotten box wine.
Yeah.
Just rip off the Franzia box and just put the bag in there.
What would that have been?
10 years of plastic. Yeah,
just this is what we thought of our union 10 years ago. Not even enough to buy wine in a bottle.
Oh God! But anyway, I've complimented you off the air, and we're grown men, so we can't get sentimental because that's not my style. But
sure
it was
can.
The perfect ceremony. Oh. There was nothing better you could have done.
Well, thank
you. I mean, and it was, and we can't thank you enough for it.
No, that's.
I cannot believe you and Debbie still got us a gift. Like, we got it, and I'm like, are you kidding? They still got us something?
Well, yeah.
How could they?
I tried to run that by Debbie. the fact that I was officiating, I should be, be good.
You saved us $500
right,
just an officiant. But no, it was perfect. You had a Game of Thrones quote. Which you mentioned George R. R. Martin specifically.
Yes.
You threw out a Ric Flair reference, which then turned into my drunk friend Brad yelling "Woo!" the entire night.
I had a Legend of Zelda reference.
You had a Zelda reference in there. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know.
Seuss reference.
And a Dr. Seuss
quote.
And the poem was good too. The poet quote.
The poem. Yes,
the
that poem.
Poem. That
no, the poet quote early from. Hold on, I'll tell you who that's from.
How do I love thee?
No.
No, oh. It was Roy something.
Hold on.
You can pull the mic towards you, too, if you...
I will.
And
you
keep leaning forward.
I don't know.
There was a Scottish poem.
No, there was a Scottish blessing at the end.
Blessing.
It was towards the end, and I think it was the poet Roy something.
Roy Croft.
Yes.
Roy Croft, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. Yeah. I love you not only for what you've made of yourself, but of what you are making of me. That was the quote.
And as I mentioned to Brian... Being an old WGN radio listener, there was a program late at night called the Meisterbrow Showcase. And on one of the nights, at least one of the nights, if not every night, that same poem was read by the host, Franklin McCormick. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love you not for who you are, but for what I am when I am with you. And then he went on to, and so it was from that poem that he read, and I even have a tape recording at home, cassette recording, of one of the shows that still exist. And if you ever have a chance to see if there's any archives of that, and Franklin McCormick was a recording artist back in the day, like back in the 30s and 40s, a very deep voice, very melodic deep voice. And that was the poem that he would start his show, and he would say, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Franklin McCormick on the Meisterbrow Showcase," and
that
would continue on with the show.
You want another beer after that? no, it was. Seriously. I'm glad you liked it. I worried it was funny. I had other stuff in there, and then I thought, well, maybe I gotta. I changed some of the.
There
added
was
some
nothing
of the story.
That you could have possibly changed to make it better.
I felt that here was my criticism of myself. Even after it was done, and I was like, okay, it went well. You guys were happy. I was happy with, but I was like, I didn't have a like. I told personal stories about you, and then when Casey came into the picture, but That was all. I didn't have that the long frame of reference with Casey
right.
that I had with you.
You know me better, and you know we both told Casey afterwards because you told me this. You had considered like a Spanish thing, but that's not
that would not have worked.
So
no bueno,
no bueno.
I had found this blessing. It was a different. It wasn't the Scottish blessing. It was a different one, and I was going to do it, and then I was going to do it in Spanish. So I had a guy that Debbie works with. Who has helped Molly with some things? He recorded it for me. He called my phone and left me a voice message. He wrote it out, and I was like, "This is going to be a nightmare." And I tried and tried, and I was like, "No, I can't. It would be too much of a hey, look at what is happening here instead of look at what's happening here."
Yeah.
So I pulled the plug.
So you know, for the last 6 to 8 months, I've actually thought. Actually, before I proposed to Casey, I thought seriously about. Doing some part of the vow in Spanish as well, and I changed my mind for the same reason.
Yeah.
But I thought about that for months, almost doing that. And I was like, well, yes, it would be like kind of appreciated, but at the same time, it's like the context
wouldn't have worked.
Casey teaches Spanish for the listener that's very confused about why we're talking right. about this. She's not from a Spanish-speaking country.
Spent a lot of time in Spanish-speaking countries.
Spent a lot of time there, but she's American, but teaches Spanish. So.
Wow, that seemed very defensive.
Well, I need to make sure people know she's American. I mean, you know, that's why the speakers didn't work because people thought that she wasn't from America.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I thought it was the water.
It could have been the water.
Well, no, they were only geared up for working in Spanish speaking countries.
Yeah, exactly. That's yeah. The problem.
The switches are on the left instead of the right.
I know. I said that earlier. Nobody believed
what were you going to say?
Oh, well, I was going to say about the ceremonies. So I had people come up like during the reception and then also at brunch the next day. And people who I was sure were only there for the open bar and people that I might not have even met before or have been invited to the wedding. And they were like, that was a great ceremony, man. Like
wow.
Yeah, so like people that I didn't expect to appreciate a ceremony really
oh, good.
Appreciated it. So I think
and it was funny, having met with you guys and trying to get a beat on what you wanted, I knew you wanted margaritas and tacos. That's what I left that meeting. I left that meeting knowing we wanted margaritas and tacos and not much else other than, sorry, just do it. You know what to do. You'll be fine. Okay.
Yeah, we kind of kept saying that. We get home and Casey's immediately like, I don't think we helped Brian at all today. I was like, well, listen, we kept saying, do you have any questions? He said no.
Well, that's why I texted Cody as I was working on it, and I said, hey, is it okay if I mention the Lord in there? Because I'd found this Scottish blessing. I was like, can I mention the Lord? And he was like, yeah, you can mention
But then when I asked her, she said, you can mention God, but not Jesus. And I don't know why.
Okay.
But I forgot to tell you that. And then I was like, oh, crap, I'm not going to text Brian again.
Well, God is more universal.
Sure. Right. And the Lord, yeah. Lord, you know, that was... Right.
Yeah.
But that was part of the blessing.
Well, it all worked great.
I'm glad I took out my 8-minute Jesus hunk then.
Yeah.
That would have been bad.
I know. You and Godspell have a long history.
I was also going to do it half naked.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't have worked. But that wouldn't have gone along with Casey's pressure to what I was going to wear. So
well,
that was,
well, yeah. Before we move on to the reception, we got to mention the last thing, which is when you said that we could kiss. And Casey
you two were.
She just. Grabs me and pulls me down,
and you're like PG-13.
I almost fell off. I almost fell down. I was like, I mean, it's a good thing I
didn't notice that from the audience.
I did a lot of DDP yoga leading up to this. So my core.
No, listen, Casey was very happy that it was over and that the bar was about to open. So she launched at you like a Wolverine.
Well, we still have this point of contention where the first time we kissed, it was at the end of we went dancing at the.
Like Green Mill.
The Green Mill.
Oh.
Went swing dance to the Green Mill. That's I walked her home because I'm a gentleman and because she lived like 2 blocks from me. And
that's handy.
I get to her place and I pointed at my cheek and I was like, good night, you know, have a good night. I pointed at my cheek for her to give me a little peck on the cheek.
Oh.
And I insist to this day that she like grabbed my head, turned it, and just went for it. Like she was all about like, nah, there's gonna be a peck on the cheek.
Not remotely what happened.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, you like shoved your tongue down my throat. This is what you did.
Wow.
I don't know who kissed who, but I thought it was a throwback to the first time you did that.
Well, it was a very joyful embrace, and that's what it should be. It was a joyful embrace. People were happy. They were happy that it was, you know, things had moved quickly.
Yeah.
They were ready to get to the bar.
Yeah. I want to know what clocked in at. So when we get the video back, we'll figure it out. It must have been 15 minutes.
No, it was, I would say, closer to 25 minutes.
Really?
You think?
Yeah.
There's no way it was 25
minutes.
The ceremony.
His ceremony just seemed
4 minutes.
Yeah,
no, because I had timed mine out to about six. My part.
Okay. So. It might have been about 20. Are you including the everyone walking down and everything? Because then it would be about 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. With everybody walking down from upstairs.
To me, it felt like 8.
Yeah.
Well, of course, but you were standing there watching it, riveted in your fear.
and
I was lost in her eyes. I could barely find my way back.
With the entire ceremony. By the time everybody walked down and then everybody walked back, it was about 30 minutes,
that's fair.
I would say.
Right in line with what I Googled.
I'm just glad that,
all my extensive research.
I'm just glad the groomsmen found their way back out of the ceremony. Yeah. Thank God for the bridesmaids, right?
So did you guys stay there and take pictures?
We stayed, took some photos. Limo Bank did an awesome job getting us all back. And again, another Christmas miracle on October 20th. We got back in 20 minutes.
Yeah. You guys were on there before.
On a Friday at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
We actually got back. We saw some people getting out of their Ubers who had left probably a half hour earlier when we got there. So
we hit no traffic on the way back.
I don't know what happened. So we get there. We took a bunch more pictures while everybody went to cocktail hour, which hopefully was enjoyable. Did you get a bacon-wrapped date?
I did immediately.
I had never had one before.
We walked in and a woman was walking by with a tray. And I went, "Is that a bacon wrap date?" She said, "Yep." I went, "Hold on. I got to try." Cody said I had to try one.
What was your review of your first
ever?
It
was good. It was good. I don't know if I'd be, I enjoyed it. It's not something maybe that I would crave in the future, but if it were presented to me again, I would not turn it down.
Right.
It was very nice.
We got no appetizers. Which was
at our wedding, we got no appetizers either.
Yeah. Didn't they shuffle you into the room to take pictures and stuff before anyone else could come in?
Yeah, the bride and groom get special access to, there's a balcony just around the edge
of the
second. I saw
that one picture.
Yeah, exactly. And that'll be the thumbnail for this podcast, actually.
Oh,
I was
nice.
Going to post the gold room photo because we get access to the balcony so the photographers can get pictures. And again, the photographers were Palette of Light Photography out of Rockford.
Ding, ding, ding.
Aaron and Lindsay, they were just so enthusiastic the entire night.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool. So, cocktail hour happens. Any incidents?
No, everything was fine. People were, we were looking for this. I was looking for this groom's cocktail that at the beginning they did not have. But as I was in line for a second drink, Debbie showed up with a bride and a groom's signature cocktail.
Yeah.
And so, it was a night of the bourbon started flowing there. And then it was. In no time, it was time to go into the gold room.
So the gold room doors open up, and you walk in. What was your reaction? Roger, have you been there before?
If I've ever been there, it was when I was a kid.
Okay.
It's been ages. I thought it was a beautiful room. I thought the settings were beautiful. The arrangement was beautiful. I was worried about you at the head table.
Well, you're worried about me?
Yeah, because you're tall. And that ceiling's just a little bit low, right where you guys were.
Oh yeah, because they raised
down.
They raised up the dais for the head table, and then the balcony is overhead. But
and
you
when you
to
walked
have
in
room,
and
you?
Went around to walk towards your seat, I go duck, seriously, and you kind of did move your head down a little bit and then sat down. But other than that. Gorgeous.
Oh, all right.
Beautiful.
I know it's a beautiful room, but the first time Casey and I went in there, we're looking at different wedding venues, and we walk in, and I was like, this is too much. Because it looks like Versailles.
It's very fancy. That's
over but it's like...
The lobby was worse.
It's over the top, crazy fancy. And we loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what were we going to say?
No. It's just that in contrast, because right now the inn thing are the... these kind of loft spaces.
Yeah, I've been to a couple there.
And very urban. And so when you see like 16 of those and then you walk in there, it's like...
Yeah, you go to one of those, it's like you're getting married in on the set of Rent.
Yeah, and you know what? They cost about twice
cost
as much.
More.
Of course they
really?
Do.
They are.
There
are some loft spaces in the West Loop that are $40,000.
Oh.
Starting at 40.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
For exposed brick.
For exposed brick.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Versus the gilded, like...
The gilded... This was old school. This was, like my generation kind of... This is where you had a wedding. This was the kind of place you had a wedding. It wasn't in some loft space where there was a guy squatting there last week.
With a bottle of wine and a bag of food.
Yeah, you're going to a wedding. It's like, I want to go into a place and go, man, this is cool. I don't want to go... Jesus, what's going on in here?
Contrasting it with where the ceremony was, which is very new age, modern, kind of free, this was a great offset to that. So you had a little of the new and a little of the old. I thought it was pretty cool.
I thought it was really nice.
Well, Casey loves nature, so I thought it would be nice if we could do an outdoor ceremony, which we ended up doing.
We ended up doing it. And then you came indoors for, you know,
party.
One of the most elaborately beautiful places for a reception.
Well,
it was really nice.
And then we had the wedding party come into Paradise City because we wanted to work in Guns N' Roses, but you can't dance to a lot of Guns N' Roses.
No.
And a lot of the lyrics are very not wedding. Not romantic.
Mr. Brownstone would have been
optimistic.
Nice.
Right. You know, I used to love her, but then I had,
to kill her.
Her.
That'd be good.
Not exactly. So, and then Casey and I came in
Patience
was my breakup song. That was my breakup song.
Well, then why the hell you wouldn't play that at your wedding?
This is what I'm saying.
Imbecile.
Yeah, in November rain. Well, no, it's October. So, you know, you're 2 weeks early on that. So it just
doesn't get with it, Brian.
Come on.
Think these things through.
So we came in wrestling music, and then our cake topper was two chocobos from Final Fantasy. I'll just leave that one there for the listener that knows what we're talking about.
The one listener who knows what we're talking about.
We had them custom made off Etsy. It was really great. I have links if you want to email me. And then I grabbed the
for the nerd wedding
the little cake thing, and then Casey's idea came in. And
this was quite a move.
I'll let you describe this.
So the cake gets rolled out there, and it's really pretty. And I forget they used to do it where the cake wouldn't come out till later, but they're smart now. They do the cake, the cutting of the cake early, because then they take it back and they cut it up to serve it later. So you two are standing by the cake, and then suddenly Casey runs toward the head table, and I thought she finally wised up and she's skedaddling. But no, she went under the head table and pulls out this giant battle sword that had to be, and I'm not exaggerating, 5 feet long.
It was five feet long, yeah.
This gigantic sword, and that's what you two used to cut the cake. It was it looked like, I don't know the name of the sword that they had in Game of Thrones that... You know, with the wolf head on it.
Oath Keeper. What was Jon Snow's sword called?
I don't know.
Someone is listening right now, screaming.
Big crazy sword.
What was?
But
Jon
it had
Snow's
the wolf, the wolf head, the and show. Yeah, it was.
It had a name.
It probably had a name.
They named their sword.
Longclaw. Longclaw.
Really?
Longclaw.
Yeah, yeah. Jon Snow's sword was called Longclaw.
But I got to tell you, you. Brian,
Where did you get this sword, by the way? Go ahead, Roger. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you kind of just kind of glossed over it because the acting that went into this.
It was all his idea.
It was all him.
Here they come. There's the cake, beautiful cake, and they walk out. And I kind of thought, we haven't been to a lot of weddings in a long time. Don't get invited much. But I'm thinking, the cake's coming out early. Whatever. And you hand him the knife, and you kind of look at him and go, you're looking at the knife, and I'm going, what are they doing with the, and Cody, I've told you this the other day, what are they doing, why are they looking at the knife, why don't they just kind of grab it together and cut the cake? And you hand it to him, and you start shaking your head. No, no. And he's standing there, as you're walking away towards the dais, he's standing there looking at you and looking at the knife and wanting to cut the cake. And then, and I'm yelling to myself
in
my brain.
Was I in the room for this? I don't remember seeing any of this.
No, it's serious.
No, this did happen.
I was watching the whole thing.
I don't remember this at all.
And in my brain, I'm yelling. The one thing that popped in first was, he's going to use a lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
Honest to God, I thought he was going to get a lightsaber and they were going to cut the cake with that. And I was thinking, yeah. And then you pulled the sword out and I went double yeah, because it was an even better theme, because then I made the connection. It means more to Cody with that than the freaking lightsaber.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so then you pulled it and I'm watching Cody and your expression, and you got the... And you look at go, and he's shaking his head. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bring it on.
It's a little theatrical.
It was great.
I'm surprised you forgot that part. You're in front row seat.
He didn't cut my head off.
I did. I don't know what I was looking at. I mean, I watched Casey run and get the sword and bring it out. Who knows?
And the reason why this all remember
I was probably
is
five bourbons in by that point.
You were straight in my line of sight. On the other side of the table.
Always.
So
something.
I'm going to the right. I'm watching Cody on the right, and then I'm watching you on the left. you know, past your dad, trying to see what she's going for, what's underneath the table, and
Roger was riveted.
Yeah, I was excited. I was so happy.
It was
for a you guys.
Replica.
That was awesome.
It was a replica of the Master Sword from The Legend of Zelda: Skyward Sword.
Oh,
I got it on eBay like a month before the
wedding. Nice. Yeah. Longclaw is Jon Snow's sword.
Ah, thank you,
Valyrian steel.
Ah, thanks for verifying. Right. So yeah, so that yeah, and
that
then,
was really cool.
Then from there it was
toast time.
Yeah, we did some toasts. You saw many people commented their first toast with props. Which was, I have like 8 tribbles now that ended up on the table.
And some cough drops. And
other
golf
people
drops.
At the table had no clue what was going on.
No, Casey's dad did a toast that had props.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I sat next to him at the reception, and he came up with the suitcase. I was like, George, what's with the suitcase? Are you leaving? He's like, no. He's like, no, it's for something. Because I thought, I know they have a room. They can't be leaving right from the reception. I'm sure they're staying.
Catching a red eye.
Yeah, it's like, listen, we don't have time. TikTok, we got to get out of here. All this sword play with the cake. I got a flight to catch. I didn't know what was going on. So he was very, very cloak and daggery about it. He wouldn't really fess up. So yeah, that was.
And Star Trek ended up playing a much bigger role in the wedding because then the next toast was my brother Jason. He gave a toast in Klingon.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Which apparently he Googled like 5 minutes before
on the dais,
of course.
Oh, well,
but,
that's all right.
Was
going
to do that?
But it was short and hilarious.
It was very
funny.
I had
no idea. Since then, Casey had never seen an episode of Star Trek before that night. So I was like, well, we got to watch the Tribbles episode. So we watched the Trouble with Tribbles, the original Star Trek series episode, like a couple days later on our kind of like staycation honeymoon. And I didn't know what Casey would think of Star Trek. She loved it.
So now
just the original series.
Yeah,
I
right.
really like
well,
it.
You need to. If you're gonna keep talking about Tribbles, I think you need to explain.
Oh, Tribble is a little.
No, not what they are, but why they are playing a part now in this conversation.
Oh, because he pulled Tribbles.
He threw them at us.
Yeah, yeah. Several of them.
I know that.
The first one with the top hat.
One had a tiara on it.
It was a formal occasion.
One actually had a little tiara
on it. Oh, did it?
Oh, it was adorable.
I couldn't see. Because, again, there was some audio issues.
Yeah, because you can't hold a mic and do props,
and throw tribbles, yeah. So,
but he mentioned something. There was an analogy. I drank a lot that night, so I don't remember all of it. But there's an analogy with tribbles and love or relationships or something. And then
it was, may all your tribbles be small ones.
Oh, okay.
Very cute.
You could tell he'd put a lot of thought and effort into this toast. It was very nice.
Now, are those the
and he had a suitcase.
Ones?
Some were moving, and he goes, I don't know how to turn these off, so I'll let you guys figure it
out.
The whole dais is like vibrating at our feet. He's just like, you better figure out how to do this. I'm like, I'm your husband. I have to. I got this.
Very nice.
We turned him off, and then the Klingon toast, and now we're like watching Star Trek, the original series.
Oh, cool.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
The only thing that upset me during the toast portion was I had been promised a lot of tasteless diabetes jokes from your brother, Zach, and not only not one tasteless joke, not one diabetes joke.
Yeah, yeah.
maybe one tasteless, but no diabetes jokes.
Yeah, my brother Zach, my dad told him beforehand that Casey had family members from out of town that were very sensitive about diabetes and that they didn't know that I was diabetic, and so he shouldn't make diabetes jokes.
Which is not true.
Which is not true. But
Casey's family doesn't care about diabetes.
For the listener without context, Zach was on the Brian Noonan show during the on-air roast of me, and he mentioned several times that 2 days, like a week before he got married, I was diagnosed with diabetes. So at his wedding, all anybody was talking about was, is Cody going to live? Oh, my God. How bad is he?
It's usually a death sentence, isn't it?
Well, my high blood sugar from the previous month or whatever was so bad that when I gave the toast at his wedding, the entire crowd was blurry.
Oh, wow.
Because when your blood sugar is really high for an extended period, your eyesight starts to get really, really blurry. So I was in a bad way, and I was down to 150 pounds.
Right.
Jeez.
I'm 6'4", so it was bad. So I was in bad shape, but he's like still like, you know, bitter about it.
Grudge,
so he was like, I'm going to make so many diabetes jokes during the wedding. So he ended up keeping
it
clean.
Not one. Not one diabetes joke.
Should have found him after.
Unfortunately, I have to go to work.
Oh, what's that like? What's that like, Roger?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, how's that work?
I don't know. It's day 7 of 12. So, I'm working 12 straight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Sweet. So, we've been there before. Well,
I know you've
done it.
I know.
I've been there once or twice. How, anything we didn't touch on that you want to say?
I think of all the things that I've been associated with as far as this wedding goes, I think we've covered it all.
I think it
was marvelous. Jerry and Karen, we had a nice talk in the car on the way from the wedding.
Jerry wore pants, not jeans.
That's true. That was a point of discussion all night long. Where the heck have you been? Comment from my wife. When I finally made my way up to the lobby of the reception, because when I walked in, I'm looking around for them because I dropped them off from the parking lot.
Oh, they went straight to the reception and you were looking for them
in
the lobby.
Yeah, and I walked in, the bar was right there, and I go, oh, there's Brian. I'll just hang with, I'm sure they're around here somewhere. Then we said, well, let's go ahead and head up,
yeah,
and there they were.
We got there right at 6, and I think cocktail hour is going to start at 6:30, so I was like, well, I'm not standing in the lobby for a half hour. My thumb up my rump. I'm going to go and have a drink. So we all went and sat down and had a drink, and then 6:30 we went upstairs.
Yeah, and we pulled over four chairs, and I only used one because they had already gone upstairs.
Sure.
So, and then the only other thing is the lobby of where the reception was, mirrors everywhere.
Oh, really?
I thought I was going to walk into something.
There's
mirrors on every pillar. There's mirrors on the walls.
Yeah, when you get to the top
of
the stairs.
There's mirrors everywhere. And I got up there, and I asked where the facilities were, and one of the workers there said, I'll escort you. And they were walking one straight way, and I almost walked into a pillar.
You shouldn't have drank that bottle of wine down at Promontory Point. You knew we had an open bar. Why'd you have
it? But it was a good bottle of wine.
So,
some suds in the pickup
truck. Thank you, both of you, so much for inviting me. Bridget had a marvelous time.
Of course, we've been working for you a decade.
So excited.
I mean, come on.
And Brian, I mentioned this to you several times. Your words were perfect.
Oh.
Perfect.
Well, thank you.
And it made for just a marvelous, marvelous experience. God bless you two. Many, 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 many years of wedded bliss and friendship, and I'm so honored to be your friend.
Thanks, Roger.
Really
don't get choked up before that.
Roger's working for the officiant at wedding number two or renewal of the vows. That was heartfelt. It was so heartfelt that I have to mock it. It's just because I'm uncomfortable with my feelings.
I too feel the same way. I'm uncomfortable with all feelings. Really,
I don't like them. They get in the way. Good night, Roger. Have fun at work.
And
we'll see you
whenever we're back on the air.
See you in a few weeks. Sometime.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We also had one thought about the photography. So photographers were going to leave the reception around 10:30 or 11 because we had them for about 8 hours.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I want to get pictures of people really wasted. Just don't, because it's an open bar. In case it's like, yeah, you want them to leave, before midnight when everybody's kind of slop.
Right.
I'm like, no. I need evidence of people getting sloppy and gross. So we found some kind of Groupon or deal or something on a photo booth for, a couple $100 or whatever. And I was like, you are going to come from 10 to midnight and you're going to be there at the bitter end. And we got some good, decently sauced, but we're at the age where most of our friends are out of their
20s. Yeah, people aren't getting their...
No, no one's getting trashed,
stupid.
But we still had some fun
I will
photos.
Say, Debbie flipped, you'll see in ours from the photo booth.
Yeah,
I was pointing at Debbie.
You insist
she thought
you're pointing.
Look at the picture. We have photographic evidence. I'm pointing at her, and she thought I was flipping her off. So she's flipping the camera off, and I was like, "Why are you flipping off? I thought you were flipping me off." I go, "I didn't flip you off. I was pointing."
It looks like you were flipping us off because we were looking at the photo. I was like, "Why are they flipping us off?"
Because
she was like,
"Why not?
Oh, look, they're flipping us off. That's funny." I was like, "All right,
it is funny."
But
anytime you flip people off in an improper setting, it's funny.
Well, but that's what I would recommend if you can't get a photographer the whole time and you want to cut it short. Get that photo booth for the last little tail end. And then
DJ was great. Many twists at the beginning in a row for an old man whose knees are not the best.
Yeah.
You space out the twists a little bit. That would be my only critique.
Yeah.
Because as the second one was finishing and you started a third, Debbie and I both went, another twist?
Yeah, it was interesting, but dude, the dance floor was packed.
Oh,
the whole
it was great.
Time.
No,
and
it
that was surprising.
It was terrific.
The one thing I will say, there was a snag that not everybody caught. That's kind of like a good story. I think it's a good story anyway. I've told you this off the air, but reception was supposed to end at midnight, and so around 11:30, the catering manager and the Ruthie and Latoya at the Congress were great to work with. They come up to me. They go, "Hey, listen. So you order late night snacks. You wanted like Reuben sandwiches and cold cut sandwiches and pizza. Well, the sandwiches are not going to arrive." And you know, there's a pizza. None of the ingredients, none of the food's going to arrive because some kind of supply chain issue or a supplier wasn't going to show up or whatever happened. They're like, here's what we can do. We have pizza downstairs that we have on in stock, and we have chicken fingers and some chicken wings. We can bring those up and, you know, to apologize for not giving you your perfect night that you ordered and paid for, we'll extend your bar package a half hour.
Nice.
So I'm like, great. This is a fine compromise. Everyone loves chicken fingers. Our friend Alex said, "Oh my God, I ate all the chicken fingers." He just got sick on chicken fingers.
Yeah, anybody at that hour is going to love chicken fingers, wings, and the pizza.
Exactly.
And I will say the pizza was tasty.
Yeah, the pizza's all I cared about. Yeah, you know? The Reubens were for Casey. Who cares about that? You know?
I wanted the Reubens.
Had I been offered a Reuben, it would have been terrific. But I didn't miss the Reuben because I didn't know the Reuben was supposed to be there.
Right. So that's a good compromise. And I think that's a sign of a good, you know, a good venue kind of works with you to fix problems because problems will arise. And so about 11:50 rolls around. The DJ says, "Hey, everybody, get on the dance floor. It's the last song." And I go, "Oh, no. No one told the DJ that the bar has been extended a half hour." So I run to the DJ and I go, "Hey, listen, I know you're getting forward to packing up and going home, but could you stick around another half hour? I think we're leaving the bar open until 12:30. He goes, "Well, go find out." So I run over to the wait staff. I'm like, "Where is Latoya?"
"Don't they start Latoya?"
And they were like, "She's in the back. She's in the kitchen." So they walk me into the back, which takes like a minute and a half. I get back there. You know, everybody's kind of on their phones, kind of waiting to pack up. And I was like, "Hey, we have it till 12:30, right? Like everything is on and going until 12:30. She's like, "Yeah." So I run through the kitchen. Like I'm running through the whole back.
I didn't know about this.
Oh, you didn't know about this?
I was dancing.
That's probably best.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, everybody's, hey, listen, husband getting things done. I ran over the DJ.
Well, you better not use that up too much in the first week.
It is the last 15 seconds of this song. And I run out and the DJ's looking around. He's like, "Where is Cody?" And he finally spots me. He's giving me the thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs up, thumbs down. And I give him the thumbs up and I run over and I get to him in the last like 10 seconds. I'm like, "Yeah, we're good to 12:30. Just throw something else on." So he gets on the mic and he's like, "I lied. There's another 30 minutes of dancing." And God bless our guests. Everyone was on the dance floor until 12:30.
Everybody stayed.
So, but it was the last half hour that almost didn't happen. And then I'm so busy dancing and eating and talking and stuff, I'm barely drinking. So I see the bars closed down about 10 minutes.
Wait a minute. A minute ago, you said you had a lot to drink.
I'd had a decent amount to
check
drink.
Check the tape.
I didn't say I had a lot to drink. Oh, well, that was just a lie.
Go ahead. All right.
So I had not had enough to drink, let's just say. I wanted to get, you know, hammered. And
why? I've never understood that about when you go to a wedding and the bride and the groom are so hammered.
No, I really didn't.
Why would you, not you, but why would you want to do that? This is a night you should want to remember. And the last thing you want to do in formal wear is be puking when you should be, you know, upstairs, you know.
No, none of that. I will say I got so desperate. Yeah. I got so desperate to make sure that I had a decent buzz on that after I saw the bar starting to close and I was like, "Oh, damn it, I missed last call." And I'm next to the head table and there were like three half-drank glasses. I literally grabbed them and just pounded them. I didn't care.
Like a teenager at Christmas.
They might have been hers. I didn't even care. I was like, someone put them here. Everyone's relatively healthy. There's alcohol. And I don't need to be healthy after this because my wedding's over. So we did that, and that was the night. And then you fell asleep in the Uber on the way home.
I did fall asleep in the Uber on the way home. But I was tired. I had been up at 4:30 that morning to go to the gym.
Are you serious?
I was stressed all day.
You got up and you went to the gym that morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
Of course I did.
Wow.
I'm not messing around. I needed to be fit, mind and body for this ceremony.
I'm impressed.
So I could just drink as much bourbon as humanly possible. This was how much bourbon I had that at the end of the night I finally went, "I need a beer just to, you know, lighten it up." So I must have been last call. I grabbed a beer.
Wow.
And then and that was that. Wow. And it was fine because, again, I didn't realize I was had a lot to drink because you kind of space it out over the night. Until we got in the car, and I think at that point I was just so tired and it was just like, "I'm going to sleep." But thankfully, Debbie stayed awake, or this guy could have taken me God only knows where and done what, who knows what with me. I look good, so he might have, you know.
You certainly did. Who knows? So, and we just cannot thank you enough for
everything. You don't have to say that anymore. It makes me uncomfortable.
All right, well, that's fine. But now what are you going to do with your services after these
rave
reviews?
Well, listen, I will tell you, a number of people talked to me after the wedding or at the reception about how I should open this up. I've been approached by a couple other people to perhaps do this.
From my wedding reception or from?
Both.
Oh.
One from your – well, from – from the fact that I was doing your wedding, mm-hmm. someone has approached me. I was approached about an MC gig after the wedding.
By one of my guests?
Yes. So I don't know. I still have the card in my wallet. My shingle is out. I'm contemplating putting an ad on the Knot because Casey said she'd give me a 5-star review.
Oh, yeah.
To jumpstart my, side hustle.
Well, I'll give you a 5. I'm sure several of our guests would give you a 5-star
review. But I don't know. Doing it for somebody you know well is one thing. I don't know if I'd want to do it for strangers. You know?
Meet them for a couple of drinks at a taco pub.
Yeah.
I'll tell you all you need.
Yeah, that's it. What do you want? Just do you. Okay. It's fine. No, but it was an honor to be asked. When I said in the ceremony that I figured you'd sober up and come to your senses, I really believed that. I didn't know. I couldn't imagine why you asked, but I was honored that you did, and I told this to your dad after because he came up and he was very nice and complimentary about everything. I said, listen, I appreciate this very much, but the only two people that I cared if it went well for were standing in front of me, and so it's nice that everybody else enjoyed it, but all that mattered was that you two enjoyed it.
Yeah, we dug it.
So
the lake being there helps.
It did help. People couldn't hear me. So that was the other good thing, because the water, the sound was just bouncing off the water, getting absorbed into the water.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Like if we were talking out of a submarine. That's the worst excuse ever. ever.
I don't know.
I noticed the speaker company didn't get a shout out.
Yeah. Funny how that happens.
Shocking. Like if a speaker fell in the water.
Something like that, yeah.
Unbelievable. But no, so that's, I mean, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, did we miss anything?
Yeah. Did we
cover the whole...
No, it was great.
The whole story.
And now you settle in. Now it's a war of attrition.
Now we got
for the next
left.
30 years.
Nothing
good luck.
Left to look forward to.
But I will say that, because it is kind of ridiculous to... I can see why people would say that, you could use that to as a down payment on a house instead
sure.
of a wedding. Like, I can see it is a lot of money and it's a lot of time and, like, it really is a lot of time and you put a lot of work into each little detail and I think it was totally worth it.
It is.
I think it was... I would not change any of it. Like, you get to keep that forever.
It's and an so important...
It was definitely worth it.
An important ceremony for a very important decision and it sets up... It allows other people to share in your joy, too, and your happiness.
It's a very generous thing to do.
Yeah, and it's, it's a celebration. That's what it was from the start... From Thursday night, everybody having a great time at Lou Malnati's and the families meeting and mingling and being able to witness that was great. And then Friday, of course, was picture perfect from the ceremony all the way down. Your groomsmen might need
a little bit. And it's a shame that my sister Hanny couldn't make it to the rehearsal dinner.
Right. Or the wedding, from what I hear. I'm glad they played the tape of her toast that she had recorded from, I don't know, where was she? It doesn't matter.
Sitting somewhere.
Yeah, who cares, really? Yeah. She's part of the family.
If she listens to this, she's going to kill you.
No, she was...
She's got plenty of other reasons to kill me.
Yeah, really.
Fine.
I got a feeling after...
She's
well, sure, after years of being neglected.
Well, she's the only one that hasn't gotten married now, so, she'll have the biggest wedding of all.
Yeah.
My dad just kept saying to me, he's like, just remember, this is all practice for when your sister gets married.
Yeah. Oh, well, sure. Now, then they're the parents of the bride.
Yeah.
And that's a lot different than being parents of the groom.
Not that different in my family's case. My parents were pretty... Well, my mom liked getting involved to help with centerpieces and all that
stuff.
I know,
but it's... Trust me, it's different.
Oh, I know. You don't... I don't know, man.
As I've heard my mom lament 5 times, it's different.
Because she has all boys.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, we're going to Casey's brothers is engaged for next year. We're going to be at that wedding. My one of my brothers is engaged, right? Is
he getting... think effectively they both are.
2019?
Oh, yeah. Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 2019.
I don't even know. It's hard to keep up. After the
wedding's
first.
On the horizon.
Listen, when it comes in the mail, maybe they'll, go to their websites. That's what all the kids are doing now. Go to their website. Everything will be spelled out. It'll be wonderful.
Well, thanks again for bringing the Goose Island.
Yeah, that was very nice.
Winter ale.
Very nice.
All liquored up.
Now you guys can drink the last two in the car on the way home.
You don't have to get me drunk anymore. We're married.
I have to get me drunk.
Wow. Because now, about 8 days later, things start to sink in. 9 days. Like, oh.
It's been 11 days.
Has it been 11 days already?
Yeah.
I went to Social Security to change my last name today.
You did?
A lot of people on Facebook got thrown into a tizzy when you changed your name.
Oh, yeah?
It was very
old-fashioned.
No, listen, I'm all for it.
I believe shorter.
Because I believe, you know, women are chattel. No, that's not true at all. I say that only because you're sitting here, so you can see that I'm kidding.
When we said on air that you were gonna announce us as Dr. and Mr. Goff, one texter called me a cuckold.
Yes,
several times.
Ooh. Yes, there were a lot of
I'm impressed that they knew not that word, but well, they what
you
Dr.
know
Mr.
they've heard
Goff.
It from the president. that threw them. That was that, some people cannot. I had friends of mine's parents, older, you know, who are in like their 70s, when they were told that I was performing a wedding, were not very, you know.
Really?
Not that they don't like me, but they're like, that's, no.
It's the devil's work.
We don't agree with that. You get married in church. But that's, you know, it's a whole different thing.
We might get married in a church. We might do a Catholic ceremony to complete the sacrament of marriage in a Catholic church. You have to do it by a priest.
It'd be a slightly smaller affair.
Yeah, we would. No, we're not going to have a thing. It would literally be like awesome by parents or something.
I've got to be honest, I'm a little offended.
I mean, you can come if you want.
Well, no, I'm offended. I signed the license. You're married.
Well, you can't do the sacrament. So,
maybe.
Sorry.
You sure?
Yes.
All right.
Unless you go to Catholic school.
I went to 12 years of Catholic school.
And
I was an altar boy.
Catholic priest. I was an altar boy as well.
Cody's about to expose how little he knows of Catholic theology.
Oh, my God.
How many sacraments are there?
12.
There are not 12 sacraments.
There are in my version.
Well, then in your version, I can actually marry.
One of them is cutting a cake with a sword. So I've completed that one.
Oh, my.
One is selling my soul to the devil for a perfect day on the lake. When people have been asking me, you know, how was the wedding? Like, I say, it was perfect.
What do they expect you to say? It sucked.
But the thing is, like, and everybody's going to say, you know, it was
a train wreck.
Anybody's going to say it was beautiful or it was great or whatever. But, like, I find it frustrating how I can't convey in any short answer, like, how ridiculously perfect everything was.
Yeah.
Like, they asked me that. I'm like, you don't
just
know.
Just go imagine how cool your wedding was and then multiply it by 10.
Right? I'm like, October 20th in Chicago.
Right.
And it was 75 degrees. Like, it's just...
No, it's ridiculous.
It doesn't compute.
Yeah. No, it was
No traffic on a Friday on Lakeshore Drive. Like...
The stars aligned.
Yeah, that's correct. And we went out to party on Saturday night, and there was no traffic. We went out near Wrigleyville, which could have been a traffic nightmare, but the Cubs lost 2 days prior.
Perfect.
So they were out of the playoffs.
On so many levels.
So we didn't even have to... So it's like, you know, okay, we like the Cubs, that's fine, whatever, but even the Cubs losing helped our traffic situation, and our friends could come out Saturday and not have to worry about surging Uber prices.
Perfect.
Really, Uber has come up as a logistical
a key word for this one.
In weddings so much more these days.
Yeah. It is, and we've given them good and bad reviews. So, but they're still welcome to sponsor the call sales at WGNradio.com.
That's never going to ever happen.
You never know. You never know.
I do know.
You do know?
I've been here 9 years.
Because sales doesn't answer
You've
the phone.
You've been here 10 years.
Yeah, 11. Yeah, they don't answer the phone. Well, they do, and then they hear Noonan? What? Who? He's not here anymore. Didn't he leave years ago? Was it overnight?
He was the hockey player, wasn't he?
Yeah, wasn't he? He was on the Hawks. You got the wrong guy.
We should wrap up with this.
We should.
An
hour 43. This is about half our usual length. So now we tell people that this is starting up again.
Web-exclusive podcasts.
Yeah, the web-exclusive podcasts are back. December and January, almost exclusively, we will be in this forum. November, we'll split the time.
We have two on-air shows for the rest of 2017.
It doesn't seem possible.
The rest of the weeks, we will fill with podcasts.
Yeah.
So go to WGNradio.com as you're doing now or wherever you're listening.
Right. Use whatever device, you know. I don't know.
Android or iOS
stream.
Device.
Right. Stream it.
Android or iOS or web or I don't know.
Web browsing.
Linux.
Where they watch YouTube. What are we on? I know there was somebody. One of our listeners was complaining that there was some iOS update and it screwed up podcasts and they couldn't find ours and they can't find Nick's and who knows.
iOS updates can be pretty perilous.
Yeah.
You know, you're an iPhone guy.
I am, but I never update. I'm still running iOS 3.
Wow.
Yep. It's just a gerbil in my phone.
Where apps aren't even squares yet.
Nope. It's just blobs. The whole screen looks like one of those when a video doesn't really buffer and there's just all the multicolors kind of swerved together.
Wow.
That's what my whole phone looks like.
That's disgusting.
Yep. Yep, but I can still get a text.
Yeah. Well, hit us up on Facebook or Twitter if you have any questions about anything we didn't cover on the wedding. And
there's a lot to... No, we... This was an elaborate...
Pretty comprehensive.
Deep details.
Yeah.
Told about your lack of planning ahead to get your shirt. You glossed over the shoe shine, which I found, again, very troubling.
My shoe wasn't shined until the last day.
The bridesmaid shined your shoes.
The hotel had a service, didn't they?
Yeah, it was called
Hannah
the bridesmaid.
Walked it over to a neighboring hotel, and then a different bridesmaid went and got them back.
You didn't know this?
You didn't know
no,
that?
I didn't know this.
I mean, I didn't. Not that you should
Wait,
feel
who's
bad.
Hannah?
This is...
A cousin? Question mark.
No wonder she wasn't at the wedding. She was getting,
getting
shoe
your shoe shined.
Oh,
oh, my goodness. Well, you made her pick up a couple bucks in the lobby, buffing guys' Oxfords?
I guess.
Boy, the bridesmaid's not only taking care of the bride, they're all taking care of the groom.
Yeah, well, someone had to.
I guess. Sure, because you can't shine your own shoes or buy a shirt that fits.
Nobody else on my side was doing anything. So
maybe you picked the wrong guys.
I did. Oh. I definitely picked the wrong guys. I definitely would pick differently next time.
That's how we end it right there. You slamming your brothers and your cousins and your friends. And that's the final word.
No, my cousin Michael is golden. He was the best. He was perfect. And my friend Blake was great.
I will say, though, when it came time during the ceremony, they all had what they were supposed to have when they were supposed to have it.
Yeah.
The letters, the rings, the hope chest, or what do we call it?
The unity chest.
The promise candle.
Actually, Zach's the only one. So the card that I wrote for Casey to put in the chest was in an oversized envelope, and I couldn't hand it to any groomsmen because they couldn't fit it in their inside tux coat pocket, except
Zach.
What'd
you get her? One of those giant Hallmark Snoopy cards? They're like 3 feet tall?
Yeah, but Zach is gigantic, so his inside coat pocket was the only way it would actually fit in. So his size as being a bodybuilder was necessary to the entire thing.
Your only contribution was that you wore a 48 extra long.
But he contributed. So
he did contribute.
No, Zach I would keep, Michael and Blake I would keep, the rest of
Wow.
The rest I would keep.
Wow, I like it. Well, if that doesn't end your friendship before the holidays, I don't know what will.
They don't listen.
They wouldn't listen. Yeah,
no, not this far
you
in.
Say whatever you want.
They'd put like an hour 30 in. The last 16 are just gravy.
That's when the good stuff comes.
Yeah, that's when, sure, it all comes at the end. Just when we wrap it up and we think we're going to be done, because every week we say, this is going to be a short one.
Now, this week I knew it would be featured.
No, this would be a long one.
Well, thank you for joining us, Casey.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thanks for... And congratulations again. Many happy years together and
You usually close the podcast.
Do I?
So I figured you would do some thing.
You want me to do the Scottish blessing again? No. No, so yeah, keep listening. We'll be doing this a lot. I'm jetting off to New Orleans this week, so we'll have stories about that. We'll have all sorts of stories as the time goes on. More newlywed stories, I'm sure, will come because they always do.
And or at least Star Trek stories.
You will share them. Yeah, we got to figure out why you're now watching Star Trek. There's a lot of new TV since the 60s. You may have heard of it. It's like 60 years worth. But that's okay. You catch up. You read a lot. You're a learned woman. You don't need to watch TV. That's for saps like me.
My friend today was like, said something about the movie Clerks came up in conversation, and she said, I've watched that movie a billion times because at one point I was staying with my dad's a few days a week and then my mom's the other days. And when I was with my dad's, he had a VHS player. The only videotape he had was Clerks. And I would just watch it over and over, and I was like, this is before books were invented, wasn't it?
Books?
I don't think she found it as funny.
It's the old Bill Hicks line. What you reading for? Not what are you reading, what are you reading for?
Wow.
I love Bill Hicks.
The great
too.
Bill Hicks.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is a nice Bill Hicks reference.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, so we will talk to you again soon. You can find us. Well, you know where to find us because you found us now. If you listen this long and you don't know where to find us, I can't help you. But we'll talk to you again. So that's it. We're done.